Hello, and thanks for being with us here on The New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk about sins and transgressions. This is something that's been around since the dawn of history. So we'd like to take a deeper look at the concept of sins and transgressions on our way to a better life. Nitza, please. Yeah, no matter how we look at sins and transgressions, it has a very non-easy connotation for people. It's not easy to feel that you're a sinner. And we'd really like to understand today, what are sins and transgressions in general, before we go down into details? Something simple so I can grasp. So you said that it accompanies humanity since the very start. No, before the very start. What do you mean? Because the sin of the tree of knowledge was prepared for them in advance. Before there were Adam and Eve and humanity, the Creator says, I have created the evil inclination, right? Only afterwards came man and developed and everything. Meaning, man's inclination is evil from his very youth, as it says. Meaning we're sinners from the very start. From the very beginning, we're ready to sin in any possible way. And we truly have the ability to say, as it says in the book of Zohar, go to the craftsman who made me, that this is how I was made, that I'm entirely immersed in the evil inclination. I want to enjoy different things. Food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, power, everything. And this is something that propels me, that gets me going. I want to be more than everyone, more successful. I want to control everyone. I want to be... I don't know what's the transgression here. Is using what I got from nature considered a transgression? My inclinations, you mean? Yeah? Is that a transgression? I don't know. No, what is a sin? That's the question. To use... What am I transgressing? What kind of laws, orders, the new laws that the government invents every day? I have to agree with that, and that's considered a sin. Today, suppose I can do something in the morning, and in the afternoon, they can say that this is a very serious transgression and hang me in the evening. Right. So is this justified? And who are the people sitting there? Justified in the eyes of whom? We know who's sitting there. So that goes without saying. So what are transgressions and sins? And if it's breaching the laws of nature, the precepts of nature, the orders of the upper force, we have to know if it's true or not. This is also not something universal. In different cultures, in different times, in different religions, there's so much said about it. And there's so many contradictions about it and discontent among people that... How to relate to this altogether? So what is a sin? The most correct thing is to say, if I'm harming someone else, that's something else. If I harm another person, yes. Meaning if I do something against the will of another person, then that's considered a transgression or a sin. Or also with respect to animals in a certain way or towards plants or nature. We have to define these things, but more or less. Meaning, harming something that's around me, whether it's a person, an animal, and still vegetative, animate, and the speaking. Harming something that's around me, that could be considered a sin, that I've harmed someone else. Yes, but here too, I can go to court and say, Your Honor, it says, I've created the evil inclination, I feel these urges from childhood that I want to harm others and do this and do that. I can show you thousands or maybe even billions of people that feel the same, that they have these kinds of urges. Man's inclination is evil from the very start. So what if you have these inclinations? Am I capable of constantly keeping myself, holding myself, despite this burning inclination? If you can, then there are different technologies that isolate you so you won't harm others. If you have inclinations, different urges, then that's not my problem, it's your problem. But still, someone that sins, it's not me, but it's the inclination that's inside of me. So you're differentiating myself and my inclination. The one doing the sinning is my inclination. Yeah? It's not that I rid myself of it, but in the Zohar, in the book of Zohar, it says, go to the craftsman who made me. He made me in such a way. You have a problem? Talk to him. Because suddenly I feel that I want to do this and that, and at that very moment, at that very instant, I don't understand anything. I kind of do it unconsciously. I'm not saying that it's correct or good, but at that given moment, I can't judge myself. This how it is. Upper force, let's call it. Each one of us understands that sometimes this is how it happens. And it's a problem. I want to ask about the sin, about the root of the sin. Like you said, the sin, it's something primordial. The original sin, as it's called, it's the foundation of all sins. So I want to understand the story. What's the story around the sin? It's called the sin of the tree of knowledge. I understand that you and many other thinkers relate to it as the root to everything that came afterwards. It's very simple. It's an inclination that exists in man in addition to what the animate species, or in addition to what animals have. Animals want food, sex, and family. And they use all of their desires according to how nature orders them to. You can't say if it's good or bad, but every creature does what nature orders it to do. Instincts. Yeah? And that's all there is to it. You can say, it's good, it's bad, he has one or another kind of character, but it was given to him by nature, and we can't say whether it's good or not, but this is how it is from nature. Obviously. The speaking species has something in addition. That's called the evil inclination. I'm talking about the human species in this world. What is the evil inclination? That a person wants to enjoy at the expense of others. He wants to humiliate others. He wants to take from others, even if he doesn't need it. Animals, they also steal, take from each other. They struggle for power. They have wars. But it's all ordered by nature. Man is above nature. He's planning how to harm others, and he enjoys it. And this is the central sin, actually? No, not yet. But still, it's the difference between man and beast. That we're worse. We're worse. Now, what can we do about it? So it says, love another as thyself. As simple as that. Meaning, I have to work on myself so much that I will relate to someone else the way I relate to myself. and then I'll be corrected. If it's less than love another as thyself, meaning that I harm someone else, even a bit, this is already considered a sin and transgression. That's it. So again, what is a sin by this definition of the wisdom of Kabbalah? That I breach the condition of everyone being equal, everyone being close, that everyone has to love each other. Why? Because otherwise, if I treat someone as less than myself, it means that I humiliate the other and I want to exploit the others. I want to exploit my fellow man. Then I exert hatred instead of love. And so this is a sin. Okay, so if I behave naturally, according to my evil inclination, then I'm already sinning. Of course. Therefore, it says, man's inclination is evil from his very youth. Specifically, people. Okay, in what direction should we continue? Okay, you just said that a sin is that there's the fellow man, and if I do things in order to exploit the other for my own benefit, then I'm in sin. And as you said, that all of my inclinations are evil and egoistic, to begin with, and I have to develop as a human being and reach the exalted degree of love another as thyself, that only then I finish sinning, because I've reached the degree or the state of love. Right? Yes. So where in the story is God then? The initial story of the sin of the tree of knowledge says that they breached God's commandment and were banished from heaven. If you're talking about the wisdom of Kabbalah, then Elohim, God, means nature. What do you mean? The general nature that withholds all of reality inside itself. This is called God. It's not, God forbid, some creature that's sitting someplace, but it's the general law of reality. That's called Elohim, God. And how can we define this law? It is the law of complete love, utter love. And what is considered a sin then? Anything that's less than bestowal and love. Anything that's less than bestowing good and benevolence to all the creatures. Okay, like you said before, anything which isn't doing good and loving others is a sin. Yes. So I understand that every person, to begin with, is born as a sinner. It says so. We talked about it, yeah. So how do we advance? I want to know, when a person sins, in general we understood what a sin is, now let's talk about the different levels. Is there something that's considered a small sin and a big sin? Of course, the extent of the desire to harm others can range from zero harm to 100% harm. This is regarding myself. Now, regarding others, suppose a small child wants to harm a grown-up. What can he do? The maximum he can do is throw a toy at him. He can draw something on his car. You know, things like that. So we're talking about the egoistic desire regarding that creature that does something in order to harm others. Okay, you said that the desire to harm others can range from zero and to full capacity. Now, when you look at someone's action towards someone else, before you analyze the action itself, you measure the extent of harm that a person wanted to do to others. What defines whether a sin is big or small? The extent of harm that a person wanted to do? Of course. Are there tools to measure this? This is another question. But theoretically, for the time being at least, to the extent of a person's desire to harm others, we say this is the extent of his sin, the measure of his sin, even if he didn't perform the sin in practice. Yes? Why is it that even if I want to harm someone else, I'm already in sin? I didn't do anything yet. So here, we have to understand the reality that we live in. We're living in a reality which is a global, universal reality that encompasses the still, the vegetative, the animate, the speaking, corporeal things, spiritual things, that are all interconnected in a single system, an integral system. And in this integral system, every part depends on all the rest of the parts and also determines the state of all the rest of the parts in creation. And therefore, we're all interdependent and we determine the degree on which the general system exists on. And therefore, on the part of nature, in order to be in perfection, we have to keep an ideal connection between us, meaning that everyone has to think, to what extent do I have to connect with others, bestow to others, exist, in order for the entire system to be in balance, for all of us to be balanced with each other. And then, according to the rule of love another as thyself, we can now say, yes, this is the rule of the whole imperfect nature, that this is how it's supposed to be. And were it not for our corrupted nature, for man's corrupted nature, then this is really how it was supposed to be. So what do we see? We see that the condition of love another as thyself that the Torah sets before us is actually a necessary condition for the global, universal, general existence of the whole of reality. So, there is an expectancy for a person to advance in his life from a state in which he breaches the balance in this general system to begin with. From nature. It's not that it's his desire, but instinctively. Okay, because instinctively I want things at the expense of others, I've created this balance in the general network, and that by defining this as a sin or disbalance, you're actually saying to a person, you have to develop to a place where you will not sin at all. Is this possible? Is it realistic to demand something like this of a person? If we define a sin as harming others, right? Then, of course, we have to reach a state where we will be clear of any sins. I want to hear, what's the connection between the sin of the tree of knowledge with the story that we know about with Adam and Eve, that the woman tempted the man to eat an apple, the story we all know, and what you just told us? What's the connection between the sin of the tree of knowledge and what you just described, that man was born with an evil inclination and it was determined to begin with by the system? The connection is very simple. A person living in this world, that's born in this world, he already has an egoistic nature in which he thinks only about himself. And this puts him in a state where he wants to use everyone else and his entire environment for his own pleasure. And besides, the greater he is, the more he exploits the environment, the more pleasure he'll derive from it. And what does it have to do with the story of Adam and Eve, the serpent god? We have to understand that this is an allegory that explains where did we get the additional desire from to exploit others. Can you explain this a bit? The serpent is our ego, our will to receive. That comes in addition to the beastly desire. A beast doesn't want to use anyone. It thinks only about itself for its own benefit. But we enjoy harming others. We enjoy controlling others. And this is the gist of our evil inclination. So that's the serpent in the story. The additional desire to harm others in order to delight myself, something that animals don't have. Right. Okay, so that's the serpent. We have Adam and Eve. The serpent tempts Eve. Eve tempts Adam. And all of them together breach God's commandment not to eat from the tree of knowledge. What do you want to get into this for? You said that it's the root of all sins. So it's the root of all sins. So what? This is where we get our desire to exploit others from, to control. Because if we go into this story, we'll get confused. I want for people to understand that we were born in sin and we want to use others, and therefore the condition of love another as thyself is the law towards which we have to advance and keep it completely, perfectly. Okay, is there a connection between commandments and sins? According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, the correction of all of a person's desires means to keep a mitzvah, to observe a commandment. The desires, not the physical actions that I do with my hands and legs, but the desires, meaning inside a person, in his evil inclination, there are 613, teryag in Hebrew, desires, and all of these desires are directed at harming others, are against others. So, in order to bring myself to love another as thyself, I have to correct all of these 613 mitzvot for them to work for the benefit of others, changing the usage of each and every desire from for my own benefit to for the benefit of others means to observe a commandment, to keep a mitzvah. How do you do it? You can do it if a person knows how to use the ma'or ha-machzir la-mutav, the light that reforms, the light of the Torah, that there is a special force in nature that if I perform the correct actions, I get from nature the force of correction that corrects my desire from using it adversely to using it in a good way. So a person himself can't correct the evil inclination, but there is some kind of a system, mechanism that I can activate. I can activate that system, and that system will take care of my evil inclination and correct it from 1 to 613, all of my egoistic desires.
And then each and every desire is used for the benefit of others. And all in all, if I complete this entire action, it means that I have reached love of others.
So each such commandment, precept, operates the system differently. Of course, this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches. How do we activate this force called the reforming light, the Torah? How do we activate this force for it to work on us and correct our nature? And then we'll relate to others not in order to use them, but in order to cause them good. I want to understand the big picture. You're saying that to begin with, we were created in sin, meaning, to begin with, man's inclination is to exploit everything, the still, the vegetative, the animate, and the people around him for his own benefit. And he was created this way. He's not to blame for it. This is how nature created him, the system. Yes. Now you say that in the system itself, there is a special force that can take a person from the status of of a sinner to the status of a non-sinner. So why didn't the system create a person sinless to begin with? Why do we need this additional force in the system that doesn't exist in you right now? If you'll turn to the system and you'll ask for it and it will work on you, then you'll be able to stop being a felon and become righteous.
Because a person has to know what is the bad system and what is the good system, that initially he's installed with a bad system and he has to attain the good system, and in the gap between the bad and the good, he will understand and feel the depth of creation. What do you mean, the gap between the good and the bad? Attainment. The attainment of creation. We talked about what godliness is, the attainment of godliness. Between the good and the bad, in the gap, in the difference between the hate and the love, I attain the concept of God, an upper system that operates and sustains us and begets us. Why is it important to have both the good and the bad? If the good is what's important, I could have been made good to start with. No, obviously not. There is a deep meaning to it, because precisely in the relation between good and bad, this is where I have to exist, and then my existence is eternal, perfect, complete. Then I'm in control of everything. What is control, dominion? That I have something that's a minus, and I overcome it, and I control it with a plus. So that's control. It's called love covers for all crimes. It means that the crimes, the hatred, remains, the 613 crimes, and upon them, the 613 commandments, mitzvot. Last question. This method of the plus and minus, it's necessary in order for a person to attain the complete system, godliness as you call it? Yes. Why do you need these two sides? Animals, they also have plus and minus? Can you see darkness without light or light without darkness? No. This is how we're built. Because we're creatures, and therefore we have to consist of these two discernments. And the formula to correctly control these two forces, it's not a matter of control. It's the matter of I can't be in love if I do not hold on to the previous hate. Why? Because otherwise I don't feel what love is. This is very deep, the matter of sins. Yeah? So a sin, it's what, in conclusion? Sins. Anything besides love. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you. Till next time, all the best.